Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me, along with Captain Patrick and Boat Show Girl, kicking off the crew for today on the big show. As we navigate the latest boating news and information, Captain Keith from Regulator Boats is going to join us here in just a bit. However, that's the crew as we kick off this one-hour radio spectacular. Are you ready, Patrick?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, Boat Show Girl is ready too, I would assume, because, well, she has to be because she's getting ready to go over to the St. Pete Boat Show. So you're already in Boat Show mode. Am I right, Karen?
That's right.
Yeah. So do you have a mission for the Boat Show this week or what? What do you think? No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. The show is so small. It's, you know, local dealers and just a few accessories. I'm hoping to catch, like, some of the magazines, maybe some of the owners or the editors of the magazines, if there's anybody there, just to see if I can write for them. That's my main mission, just because it's a smaller show and not so many people there.
Okay. So it'll be more intimate, but a more opportunity to network and possibly create more outlets for your boating blogging.
Right.
Yeah. Patrick is shaking his head in disgust.
Yeah, because she's going about this all wrong.
Why?
I hope, Karen, you don't take this as me being overly critical. Okay.
You!
But
get out.
This is all in an effort. Any advice that I've given out has never been critical. It's always been in an attempt to help you.
That's right.
Not
to shatter your dreams.
Unlike Greg, who wants you to dress up like a superhero.
That's just
so
good marketing.
Here's my thought.
Okay.
At a time when magazines subscriptions have fallen drastically, because you can get all the content online, if you search, I mean, you'll find it. Plus, you get the news stories across Facebook or Twitter or what have you. So there's, I don't know that magazines are really the way to go. But what you should look at doing is starting your own magazine.
Thought about it. Will be done eventually.
Yeah. No, not eventually.
Well, why start a magazine when you got a blog? She's already kind of doing that.
Because blogs don't make money.
What magazines do?
If you do it right, and she's got a niche, okay, and the niche being the millennial boater, ooh, great name for a magazine, to where you start, you want to build that demographic up and get them excited about boating and get them into boating.
Yeah, but millennials don't read. Come on, let's be real, Patrick. They don't bother with that.
No, they read at 140 characters a time.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be the world's first boating magazine on Twitter. That's not
or
a bad...
Instagram in pictures.
Okay.
That way they don't have to read.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Thank you for contributing to the dumbing down of America.
No, I'm just calling them as I see them. Have you met some of these millennials?
And,
come on.
And the fact that you can come at this from the viewpoint of a young female millennial and really work on that demographic, too, gives you a marketing edge that is traditionally overlooked by boating magazines. Boating magazines target, and when you look at the advertising, they target the affluent male.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah. So you would target a different a female millennial? Is that what you want to do?
Are you asking me or her?
No, her. He's the one in charge of the Twitter mag. What do you think?
Well, why not? I mean, it is.
Okay, I'm just double checking. I'm just making sure he's not, you know, pointing you in a direction you don't really want to go. But that is the market that you want to
go after or serve.
Right. And let me tell you something. Like, I've been doing a lot of research with some of the, like, boating industry magazines. I've been looking at the ones from years and years ago that they have on their website. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about the same thing for the last 20 years. Why are we not doing something about it instead of just talking about it? So that's another aspect to what would be eventually the magazine that I, you know, I want to actually do something about these problems instead of just talking about them.
Talk is cheap, especially on Twitter.
Well, what problems?
Oh, you know, the same millennials. Who do we, you know, the same conversation we had 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, like all millennials are slackers, so why bother? No. That kind of thing.
No.
Millennials aren't slackers. Millennials are carrying a huge amount. Those who have gone to college, most of whom are carrying a huge amount of college loan debt. They're now moving into their 30s, and they're going to be starting families. So, as we talked about, there's this window, this age range there that really has got the industry quite worried because they don't see any growth there for at least another 10, maybe 15 years. And that's a problem. That's a big lag. Mm. And if you can come at that demographic and really target, you know, there have been efforts in the past to target African Americans to get them involved in voting or more actively involved, and the Spanish community, and then some other, LGBTQ community to get them involved in voting, you know, but we tend to focus again on the affluent male because the advertisers are, well, that's who controls the money. That's who's got the money. This is who we need to target, when really it's not always the case. Not this day and age.
Hmm. Well, okay. Let me play devil's advocate just because it'll be fun. If they target male voters, like you just said, you just mentioned the LGBTQ community and the African American. I don't know what. I don't care about these groups.
Go ahead.
I don't care about the individual groups. They're males too in those groups. Why would you have to super serve that particular niche anyway?
It's not super serve. It's overlooked.
What do you mean it's overlooked? There's guys in those groups.
Right, but we got to be able to relate to them. How are they going to relate to voting when they're not, when everybody talks about the white male? Like, you
when,
know.
When was the last time you picked up any type of boating magazine, mainstream boating magazine,
yeah,
and there was an article about a gay couple documenting their cruise to the islands or something like that? Doesn't happen.
Okay, but they're still guys. There's a guy in that. You know, it could be a, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know.
You're just stuttering.
No, I understand the age issue with millennials, but I don't know if I understand the separating of the groups.
I'm not separating the groups. What I'm saying is magazines and the boating industry, they have made in the past short targeted efforts, but not sustainable to get people within these demographics, okay, mm-hmm, into boating. But it's short-lived. There's nothing that's done that works towards the African-American community or the Spanish community or women. And I'll tell you, there are probably more women out there that boat and fish and ski and do the water sports behind the boat and all that than probably guys.
Okay, and you're getting that statistic from what?
Boat Show Girl.
Oh,
I'm reading it in her blog right now.
Do you buy that, Karen?
It's right there. It says it right there.
Is that true? Yeah. He's making stuff up again. I'm just saying. I mean, you only have so much of a marketing budget. A manufacturer can only, you know, try to promote their boats on the broadest scale possible. When you start going down all these rabbit holes, like, well, let's target this group, let's target that group, let's target this group.
No, it's not. It's not. Okay.
It is targeting.
What you have to do is you're missing the point of what I'm trying to say, which is
you can be all inclusive in their media.
You have to make an effort to do exactly what you just said, which is to bring everybody into the fold. and make it a sustainable effort. But when you go to boat show girls, boat shows, what do you see? You see boat show girl walking around in a costume, and you see
that would be awesome.
And you see women in bikinis in the boat booths and stuff like that. And who are they targeting? The white affluent male.
Well, I know some.
Stop it!
I know.
Stop it!
It goes.
Stop it!
Always. I've seen it. I've talked to people. I've seen things.
You know people, right?
I'm just saying.
You know people.
I'm just saying. Boat show girl in a cape, mask, and tights would appeal to all sexes, genders, and age groups.
Well, she'd certainly have the cosplay community dialed
in. There you go. See? You know, a broad brush. It almost came out wrong, didn't it?
No, it did.
Oh. All right, we got more coming up on the World of Boating with Captain Keith from Regulator Boats. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters, you know there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw, put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Dude, you were right, Carmen. Your Uncle Roy has a sweet boat.
Yeah, and I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat.
This is the World of Boating.
Yeah, you can buy me a boat.
Greg, your first mate, that's me along with Captain Patrick, Boat Show Girl, and now we have Captain Keith from Regulator Boats on board with us as well. Now, Patrick and I are holding hands because we want to reach out to all demographic groups, including the LBGTQ. I can't keep any of these groups straight, Patrick. But we welcome all people to the World of Boating. So I want to cover all bases as inappropriately as we possibly can.
Says you.
True. How you doing there, Keith? You with us?
I am. Happy to be with you guys this beautiful day.
All right. Well, back at you, my friend.
Hey, Keith, don't want to beat on this thing that we were talking about the last segment, which was really my point was, in the past, the industry has made it seemed to be short-bursted efforts to bring minority groups into the boating community, but it doesn't seem that there's anything that's really been done long-term, sustainable, to really bring in, say, whether it's the African-American community or the Spanish community or the LGBTQ community, and I'll add to that, women as well. They just seem to be like they announce a program and then it kind of peters out and, you know, we're back to targeting the affluent white male.
Well, I think most places people are targeting the affluent because yeah. The one place I disagree with you there, Patrick, is I do think women are targeted, but I'll agree also that the other minorities aren't targeted. And when you have seen campaigns out there on behalf of the industry, they've been very, very short-lived.
Now, do you believe me, Greg?
Well, I didn't say I didn't believe you. I just said I don't see the point as far as, you know, you only have so much, you only have so many marketing dollars, right, Keith? So,
well, and that's true. And I think the bottom line, most of those marketing dollars go to target affluent. And, yeah. You know, maybe there's more affluent in the Caucasian world than.
Right.
The others, I don't know where those lines lie.
Exactly, but you're not.
Zip codes and everything, they go affluent.
You're not cutting out African Americans. You're not cutting out.
Didn't say they were.
Any community.
And
Hispanic,
by they,
whatever.
I mean the marine industry.
Well, I'm just saying.
Not talking about regulator marine.
But that's what I'm saying. Affluence is, from a marketing standpoint, it's kind of colorblind and sexual preference blind, age blind. If you got the money, they'll take it. Simple as that.
Okay, but when we look at our boating magazines, which is kind of how this conversation started, they advertising is targeted to the white affluent male, and because that's where to Keith's point, where maybe more of the money is, but there's money in these other areas as well, and we haven't done anything as an industry to do a long-term sustainable program to actively bring people from these communities into the boating community. And that's where my point was. Not that we haven't, not that we...
So how do you do that, though? What do? You have a separate campaign altogether that shows like a black couple on a boat or something? Is that what you're saying? I mean, how do you do that, Patrick, without going down a rabbit hole?
You have to be more inclusive.
Well, of course, when you
with
have
your advertising.
That's what I just said. I said they're very inclusive. If you got the money, they'll let you spend it. Here, check this cool boat out. We don't care what you look like. We don't care who you want to sleep with. We don't care how old you are. If you got the money and you got the credit, we'll take it. What can we do to help you? We're here to help. Am I right, Keith? What do you think?
Well, I do believe if anybody walked into a boat show booth or a dealership and they had money, I would venture to say that most of those dealers or manufacturers or whatever would take their money and put them in a boat if they had the money, regardless of what color or preference they were or anything else.
No, I that wasn't my point, saying that they wouldn't. It is that those communities don't feel that the boating lifestyle hasn't reached out to them. There's no concerted effort to bring them into it, so they don't even look at it as an option.
But let me ask this, though, Patrick. Which comes first here, the chicken or the egg? Because if you look at a brochure from pretty much any major boat brand out there, it's going to have very few African-Americans in that brochure, because as they've built that brochure, who their customer base is, most everybody's building that brochure what their customer base is. So, of course, it's not going to have that many Latinos or African-Americans or non-family kind of oriented things, because that's who's into boating.
Okay.
I think if all of a sudden there's a big flush of African-Americans into the boating industry, then I think naturally the brochures and the magazines and whatever would start showing that.
Well, we know the demographic in the country is going to change here in the next 20 years or so. Where,
have you not heard about the wall?
Where... The white male will fall into the Caucasian community, will start to fall more into the minority. And as far as the brochures, I just have two words, Photoshop.
Interesting.
But now that we're past that, Captain Keith, what I wanted to talk with you about while we've got you on air, One, I was on the Regulator Marine website, and if people haven't checked that out, your Build a Boat feature is really, really cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
I enjoyed playing around with that, and it's nice when you can, you know, you start to play around with the hull colors and the striping and all that stuff. And
did
the
you
engine,
build me one?
And the engine colors.
You built me one,
and things
you,
like that. So it, that's really cool. But there was a article that came out this week from Boating Magazine. Are you familiar with the one that I'm talking about?
No, keep going. Maybe I have. I don't recall it right off.
This was after the year-long, the Glacier Catamaran versus the Regulator 26.
Hmm.
All right. I haven't seen this yet, so this will be news for me, but let's talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, in the end, I mean, my problem with this was that comparing a catamaran, a power cat, to a V-Hull is like comparing a Porsche to a dump truck. It's two completely different.
Okay, just for the record, he's calling the Glacier boat the dump truck.
I am.
Okay,
Keith, listen, oh. we used
I was worried.
Yeah,
for a second.
No. I'm like, what are you doing?
Regulator would be the Lamborghini. I mean, that would be the sleek, fast craft. But we used to build catamarans for Leisure Cat and World Cat, and I had spent enough time in them. I mean, it's a nice, if you were diving or things like that, I think it presents a nice, wide, stable platform. But it's kind of a use-specific boat versus the Regulator offering, which is, it can be used for a wide variety of things. But one thing they pointed at was, of course, the stability, especially if you're out and you're fishing and, you know, the vessel, the yaw. And is there any plans with Regulator for you guys to go with Seakeeper in the future to compensate for that on any of your product, or is that just something that's going to push your product way far out of the price range?
All right, you're going to have to hold your tongue there, Keith, as we got to take a quick commercial break, pay the bills. And once again, when you hear these advertisements, we want all people to buy the stuff, okay? More coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
This is The World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Boat Show Girl, and Captain Keith. Keith, now, Patrick was asking you this question. Do you hope to add stabilizers to Regulator boats to compete with the catamaran type
style?
Well,
styles? It's not to compete with the catamaran, but it seems that, you know, a company like Seakeeper, they're making units now that you can put in 26 footers. And for people who may be prone to, they don't like the rocking of the boat, gives them an option to get a boat that settles down.
Got it. What do you think, Keith?
Well, a couple things. First of all, Seakeeper, the gyros are awesome, fairly relatively new technologies. I think that's growing, and that's the way the industry's moving. And I'll directly address that first. The second thing, though, you talk about catamarans versus mono hulls and stuff. Catamarans has been around for a very, very long time. They're very much a niche market where they do certain things really good, but they're not very versatile across the board. And same thing can be said for step hulls. Step hulls have been around for, you know, almost 100 years, and they do a few things very, very good, but they're very niche because they're not very versatile as well. Where you have the traditional deep V, which Regulator uses and a lot of our competition uses, is the standard because it's very versatile from one end of the spectrum to the other. So it's kind of hard to compare the different technologies from hull shapes that way. But the second thing of that is a Seakeeper, which is a gyro stabilization, has been on big boats for the past decade or so, or even longer, especially from the military background in the 70s. I think the first gyro started really being used that way. But that technology has shrunk. It's becoming more affordable. From the Regulator standpoint, we are currently in the midst of testing several of our models with it. And I believe with the 2018 model year, you'll see some big announcements from us, from Gyros, as we're working directly with Seakeeper there testing some of their stuff. So I believe that technology is going to start showing up everywhere. With us and with, you know, plenty of other boats that are out there.
Nice. You know, and having been on Regulator's website, you guys have got a really nice online clothing accessory store. How about a couple hats, man?
Or yeah, maybe so.
Really?
I get you one of the pink ones.
One of the pink ones, of course. That would highlight his cheekbones. More coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
What the hell are those yard birds doing to my boat?
Pontoon, making waves and catchers up on the roof. Jumping out the back, don't act like you don't want to. Party in slow motion, out here in the open. Motorboating.
This is The World of Boating. Captain Patrick, Greg, your first mate. That's me. Boat Show Girl and Captain Keith. All right, so let's change gears here. Let's divert. Let's change course and more move towards some industry updates, because Keith, we haven't had you on since the boat show, and I kind of wanted to find out what vibe you're getting, because Rusty is not with us today because he's too busy again at Jacksonville Marine. He's already eclipsed his sales of last year. At this point in 2017, he sold more boats than he did for the entire year in 2016. Is that a trend you're seeing from some of your other dealers?
Yeah, that is going on right now. When you look at industry numbers across the board, the marine industry is doing very, very, very well right now. From our standpoint, Regulator, we're already selling 2018 models, because 2017s are, unless there's a boat sitting in stock somewhere, are all taken up. So it's an incredible year for us and our dealers.
That is a good problem to have, I think, for the most part. I'm sure you'd like to have more boats to sell, but...
Well, I would love to. We even have started seeing this trend coming back in the late fall. We started hiring in November and December, put people on for 90 days... training. We started our second shift the week before last, so we're up to two shifts now. So we increased by about 25% capacity, and we sold already through that since the boat show started in January.
Right on. And I know before we went on the air today, you had given me, I think we had the statistics, what, center consoles are up, Patrick? Didn't we talk about that last week?
We talk about it anytime we talk about sales, where the segments leading to recovery, aluminum, and center consoles.
Aluminium.
Correct. And the aluminum, primarily, that's being pushed by pontoon boats. Pontoon boats tend to be way up there leading the category there. They're still the hottest market. And the second hottest market besides them are fiberglass-powered, fiberglass offshore boats, which tend to be mostly center consoles. And they're getting to be bigger boats, too. The statistic the boating industry just released out in their March edition was... boats 28 to 35 foot was the fastest growing segment of all source center consoles at 32.7% right now.
Well, I called this a couple years ago when that song Pontoon came out from Little Big Town. I said, they are going to skyrocket, I tell you. And so that's probably what they need to do, is just come out with a different song for each sector, and that'll bring all sectors back for boats.
I need to commission a center console thing right now.
Center console. I don't know the rest. I don't know. Fiberglass.
Yeah, we got to look other places, Patrick.
Yeah.
I got one that I can send to you. The lyrics are already written.
It does?
Yeah, I tried to send it to the scuba cowboy. And never returned. He's like, who is this?
Fiberglass.
No.
Put your little...
starts out with a 40-foot hand-laid fiberglass hull, you know, and really kind of builds from there.
Okay, wow, interesting.
And you know, again, not promoting one brand over another, but on Regulator's site and looking at their 41, one of the things Keith and I had talked about in the past is, you know, the outboards becoming more prevalent in the industry, and now moving into the larger cruiser market. Where I see your 41-foot offering, I mean, that's quads, man, and that's a 20,000-pound boat.
Yes, it has 1,400 horsepower on that boat, and that boat runs about 65 miles an hour.
Nice. So you know, what we look at with that, Greg, is the era of outboards not being able to push what we would think as a traditional cabin cruiser, large boat, is pretty well fallen by the wayside now.
Yeah.
Correct. There's a lot of big horsepower out there, and there's rumor that you can see bigger horsepower from Yamaha, Mercury, and you know, which are the two market leaders coming as well. And you know, who knows when that'll be here? But regardless, the way of the outboard is the way of the future.
Yeah, and I don't think it's so much their ability to make a more powerful engine. I think their challenge is going to be having running gear that is going to be able to withstand the torque.
Yeah, whenever you see one of those big sevens, those 550 horsepower engines cut apart at the bottom, it's got two shafts in it that are, you know, each one as big around as a golf ball.
Hmm. That's pretty big.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, the torque that's applied, especially not only with the horsepower, when you're applying that horsepower down the downshaft, then to the prop shaft, and your gear sets, everything gets moving, but now you're trying to push 20, 25,000 pounds as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, Boat Show Girls going to the St. Pete Boat Show. Do you guys do that one with Regulator,
Keith? Yeah, we'll have one of my counterparts down there, so I have to stop by, tell Boat Show Girl I have to stop by and see Drew at the booth.
There you go. You got
all
a plan.
Right, cool.
So go see Drew. She won't put on her costume. I haven't talked her into putting on her outfit yet there, Keith. Which is
I think a mermaid at that show would go extremely well.
Well, okay, a mermaid. But really, Boat Show's girl outfit is tights, a mask, and a cape. And, of course, it says, you know, BSG. Or BS real big and then G, just for, you know.
That also stands for something else, and I don't think I want to do that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't read too much into it. Just go with it. It's just good marketing. If she ran through the boat show, would that be the biggest news story of the day, Keith? Come on.
It would. But Boat Show Girl, let me tell you this. After doing these conversations with Greg over the past, I don't know, seven or eight, maybe nine
these
years
aren't conversations. This is career counseling.
One thing I've learned is don't listen to him. Don't take his advice.
You see, Karen, just not me who was telling you that.
Oh, Keith is just trying to make a funny. That's okay. He's trying to score points with, you know, he's sucking up to Patrick. Let's be real. Whatever. But
yeah,
anyway.
One thing that Captain Keith can never be accused of is that, because even we will have an in-depth discussion on air that may extend over two or three shows, and we don't always necessarily have the same viewpoint, but it's an adult exchange of viewpoints that's received well on both ends, unlike when you and I talk, Greg.
Yeah. Well, if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong, Patrick. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, that could be a correct point there. Greg does have a point there.
Thank you. Thank you. Way to brown nose here, Keith. All right. So what else you got on your radar, Keith? Are you just kind of hunkered down right now? Or, I mean, you don't go to the boat shows as much as you used to, right?
No, I sure don't. I'm spending a little more time visiting some dealers around the country and in the office now a little more, which is kind of a shame. It's starting to get springtime here, so we're going to be wishing I was on the boat. But I am fortunate. I'm actually here just in a couple of weeks. Going to a little place called Quesal in the Bahamas, right off of Cuba, to do 2 days of fishing with a magazine.
I've been there. I've done that. I did some diving there. Yeah, that's a nice place to be. So you guys are going down there to film some boats and take pictures or story?
Yep, all the above. Do a little bit of filming, some photos while we're there, and do a story along the way. So I'm excited about it.
What kind of fishing are you planning to do?
Big fish.
Big fish, like tuna? Is it a tuna run
time?
That's
all I can tell you is right now, big fish.
Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, that's pretty
cool.
I'll take
a photo of me and a big fish somewhere.
There you go. Well, you're close enough to Cuba, so you could just zip right over there if you wanted. Have you been there yet or no?
I have not been there yet. I have, I haven't been to Cuba yet. It's on my little bucket list, but I've not been there yet.
That's all right. I got a couple areas in Miami I can direct you to and save you the trip.
Right, that sounds fun.
No, it's not that fun. It's not the same. He's just mad because he didn't get to go. I've already been twice. Anyway,
comrade
Keith, I'll let you get back to your weekend. Thanks for checking in, And once again, if people want to check in with Keith, then go to regulatorboats.com, I would assume, right? They can connect with
you
that
way? Sure enough, regulatormarine.com.
Okay, there you go. All right, Keith, take care, buddy.
Thanks a lot. You guys have a great afternoon.
All right, there you go. Captain Keith Hammonds. He's a good friend. And unlike everybody else here in the studio today. No, I'm joking. Me and Patrick, we're good friends. We kid. Right, Boat Show Girl? You see this. She sees us through FaceTime.
She sees you through FaceTime.
Yeah, I always see you.
Do you want to see Patrick instead? Let me just turn it around.
No, don't do that.
There you go. Yep. Here we go. Yep. I'm turning around her video here so she can see Patrick.
Yeah, I see her.
It's going to she's...
Oh, just point her right towards that scuba radio hat.
She's going to be like, oh, what a letdown. Yeah, there you go. Now you can see her, Patrick.
I see her.
Can you see her?
I see her.
No, I'm... I was talking to her.
She's holding up a sign. Yeah, that's true about Greg. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Does he look like you thought he would?
I'm on the website. What is
there? I've seen pictures. Well,
you know that's photoshopped. Makes you look like a guy. Okay, enough nonsense. Well, for this segment, we'll regroup and come back with more in just a moment here on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
It's sometimes referred to as the martini effect and has nothing to do with drinking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The martini effect is a slang term to refer to nitrogen narcosis, the physical and mental impairment experienced by scuba divers on deeper dives. Most divers don't feel the effects at 30 or even 60 feet. Everyone is different, much as some people get drunk more easily than others. But with increasing depth, you are much more likely to feel it. At 100 feet and deeper, you will definitely be affected, even if you're not aware of it. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
For all my pals who live in the oceans and the seas, with bronze like
this is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, and Boat Show Girl navigating the latest boating news and information. Boat Show Girl is still looking at Patrick here with FaceTime. And
no, she's wearing a blindfold now, so...
Yeah. You know, Boat Show Girl, I'll tell you, Patrick just said right before we came back on air, he goes, you want to go ahead and turn that around? I'm kind of sick of looking at her.
No, I feel like I'm being stared at.
What? Okay, so now you, first of all, you were mad that I am the one who always gets to see Boat Show Girl, and now I give her over to you.
Wait. I was not mad, okay?
Annoyed?
No.
it's you are annoyed
it's
all the time.
You would say,
don't lie.
Well, Boat Your Girl is doing this right now. And it's like, all right, well, it'd be nice if we could all see it.
Right.
But
I gave
you
her
would
to
just
you.
Be, you would just be staring
she
intently
is now yours.
With the screen about 3 inches from your face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now you have that same luxury, and you wanted to shun it. I you know, I don't know what to tell you, Bojo Girl. I'm a fan. Obviously, Patrick's not. What can I tell you? And I apologize for him. She has no comment. I don't blame her.
Yeah, nobody has a comment for that, Greg.
It was really awkward at first when we were doing FaceTime. Now I'm used to it. I'm used to your old faces.
Right. You know, I figured I'll let you watch, you know, and
I know. Love the little sign she's holding up in the screen. That is hilarious.
Does it say help?
No.
Okay, good. Then we're fine. I don't care. As long as it doesn't say that. And yeah,
it's true. Greg does distress. Sleep in a coffin. His skin is that pale.
Oh, jeez. Well, Boat Show Girl, are you going to the boat show? You're not going today. You're waiting and going tomorrow. Is that what's going on down there in St. Pete?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow. I have other stuff to take care of today.
Yeah, so you're going to the St. Pete Boat Show. Sunday! And it'll be it's not one of the bigger boat shows, but do they specialize in big in-water boats, or is it a sailboating type of thing, or what?
It's at the Tropicana Fields where the Rays plays baseball, so everything is pretty much inside or out in the parking lot.
Okay, so it's like a Jimmy Buffett concert.
And with a 60% chance of rain tomorrow.
Well, you'll be on a boat. Who cares?
It'll be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it will. It'll be like Jimmy Buffett tailgating party in the parking lot. But so there's not an in-water portion for this show. It's all at the fairgrounds there. Is that right?
Yeah.
At Tropicana Field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tropicana Field.
Not the fairgrounds. So, fairgrounds is a whole another area over there.
Okay. But
that was last weekend, and I did not get to go to that show because I was sick.
Next weekend, it'll be in the local Walmart parking lot.
Yeah. You already have some meetings set up with some potential boat contacts?
Nah, I'm just going to go. I've talked to these people probably a zillion times in the past. It's so small. I skipped last year, so I really need to go this year.
Got it.
You know, it's a small show.
Well, I can see that she's going to use Rusty's path of providing figures, whether attendance or monetary, where Rusty, to get his loan to start his dealership, literally pasted and copied somebody else's proposal from the internet and presented it to the bank, and they forked over like $8 million.
That's a fast and efficient way to do it.
Bojo Girl, what I'd say is avoid using the word zillion. So when they ask you how many people are reading your blog, don't say about a zillion, because it's not a real number.
Okay, fine. You're just like that. That's saying like those people that say you can't have like 1,000% because it only goes to 100.
Yeah, that's just no fun.
It's theoretically not possible. It's
only
not,
10 times 100%.
There's no such thing as 1,000%.
Okay. If you've been around me, that's sort of how I talk. But if I'm like doing like, you know, work-wise, I don't do that. But if you're just normally talking to me, then yes, I will use zillion, billion, and trillion, and 1,000%.
Bazillion would be probably easier.
Brazilian.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're over in Clearwater. They have some of those.
Yeah, Brazilianaires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that'll be a fun thing for you to go observe. And you can tell us if you thought, you know, or ask around, find out if attendance is up, and get a vibe from the folks that are selling the boats if they're doing better this year as opposed to last, okay?
Of course they're going to say they're doing better, and attendance is going to be up. Attendance is always up at a boat show. There's never been a boat show where attendance has been down.
Role, as a mole, as a boating mole. She can kind of go in, you know, under the radar and kind of really, you know, suck up to them a little bit and get the truth as opposed to some sales shtick.
Well, maybe if she dresses up in the costume, she could use her magic Golden Dock line and lasso them and get the truth out of them like Wonder Woman does with her.
I never thought of that as being her superpower. She has a thing with knots. Really? That's her superpower?
I was just talking about a Golden Dock line.
I don't know. It seems like it'd be something a little better than that.
Yeah, if she can learn how to lasso a cleat. You ever see people who can do that? That's amazing, man.
I think she never leaves, you know, home port without an oar. And she just runs around. You know, like Thor has his hammer. Other folks have swords. Bocho Girl has an oar.
I have a hermit crab.
What?
She has a hermit crab.
A hermit crab? Well, that's a sidekick. That's not a superpower. But we'll figure this out here eventually.
Hermit crab and a slingshot.
That could be interesting.
Nice. All right.
And on that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.